Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
People could make a bad mistake walking down the street and think that they could have you, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You can't judge a book by its cover.
That's half lucky in Liverpool, really, because everyone sees me head now and just knows who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that hair, Gary.
It's the hair. It's the hair, everyone knows who I am. So.
Will you change that hair?
No. It's a trademark.
Is that the trademark now?
Stuck. Man. I'm not Beckham, lad. I can't change my hair every weekend in life. Still.
When that cage door closes, it's you and him. I will try and kill you in there if it comes down to it. I'll die before I get beat.
Every single fight I have, I leave a part of my soul in there.
I know I'll be the biggest star in the UFC.
To be fair, your last knockout was something absolutely ridiculous. I was like, what the f*** is that?
It's not right, that. I got partnered with this girl, Millie, and she just goes, boom! All three coaches behind the desk went, ooh! Lad, I used to hate you. Lad, when you played for United, I used to hate you.
Look at the eyes I've got, haven't they?
Hate you.
On this episode of The Overlap, I travel to Liverpool to meet two rising stars in the MMA world. Paddy the Baddy Pimblett and Meatball Molly McCann are two hometown heroes tipped to become the next generation of UFC champions. We talk about their journeys into MMA, UFC politics, and they show me what it's like to step foot inside the cage. Paddy, Molly, welcome to The Overlap. And also to my favourite city of Liverpool.
Yeah, you know that.
Right, let's go back to the very beginning. Just talk to us a little bit about your childhood and what it was like for you first, Paddy.
To be honest, I had a sound childhood, lad. By ours, lad, it's all these in the gym call me the Fresh Prince of Eton. Take the piss out of me, lad, and say I'm privileged. But by ours, it's just a little nice area, lad, so...
Heighton's a nice area?
No, Heighton isn't, but by Greystone is, by me ma's.
But why would they call you the Fresh Prince?
Because they looked at my house. I lived on the corner house and, like, we had an extension and that. You know what I mean?
An extension, yeah. That's it.
I know. We had an extension and that, you know what I mean? So it was, like, Fresh Prince of Eton.
And you, Molly?
I mean, I had a real tough upbringing. It's been quite well documented that both my parents struggled with addiction. I was here, there and everywhere. Didn't have, like, a stable upbringing at all. But my mum absolutely changed it round. She's 24 years clean and sober. She's... flying. She's like a director of an addiction charity, so right. She's changed so many lives through her experience, and she was the kind of person who just said, me and you are cut from a different cloth, like, there's nothing that we've come against that we can't overcome, and it shows in me fighting, like, in spades. I can just use and draw from all my pain and hate, and I've had to fight since I was this big to now.
Everyone remembers, like, certain points of the childhood when they're young. Is there a point where you remember, I'm not happy, I'm upset?
It could be dead sad, but I just remember walking into, like, being upstairs in a house and there's just parties going on non-stop, and coming downstairs and just seeing bits on the side and bottles on the side, and I just remember thinking, it hurt my soul. I remember thinking, this is so bad, I'm never going to be like this, I'm made for more. Everything I've been through, I will always try and make sure that other people don't have to. So, like I was saying to you, where I am a part of Weapons Down, Gloves Up, and where I am trying to get the kids off the street and into sport and then into full-time employment, that's my job. I know how much it's scarred me.
Yeah.
I know how much it's absolutely killed me off. And I don't think I mask it by being a larger-than-life kind of character, but I just think I've grown through what I've gone through.
Yeah.
And I just know people could never walk one step in mine or in his shoes because of what we've been through, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's being really modest, saying that he's not had it hard, but he's definitely has had it hard.
In a different way, but not in the way you have, know what I mean? Like, my dad wasn't always there, my dad was in and out of jail. So I was like, sometimes I was raised by like a
single that's tough, that, isn't it?
It was hard, you know what I mean? It was, not having a father figure all the time, but as I say, my dad sacrificed a lot to make sure that we could get by.
I saw your interview where you said that you want to be in a position whereby no kids should have to go to a food bank in Liverpool. Is that what drives you?
Yeah. Like, the thing is with us, like this city supports us so much.
Look at our goosebumps. Like, just when
this city just supports us more than anything, so we want to give back. I'm in this position where I can help people, so why shouldn't I help people? It's nice to be nice.
Just going back to sort of the feedback, so when I went to Bootle to interview Jamie Carragher and he had the JC Foundation and he donated to the youth centre across the road, it's a massive problem that's growing in 2022, isn't it? Yeah. And you think about it, and cities like Liverpool feel it as much as most, don't they?
Yeah, what people don't understand is how many people in this city eat from food banks. The city's doing so much in a sense of trying to give all that we can give, and I've been around loads of like community centres and wellness centres recently, and it just blew my mind that kids are going there after school for a scran because they've got nothing to go to back home, and it's horrible.
And actually, the gym, the boxing, the MMA, it's a way out for them actually. It's actually an escape,
isn't it? It's a very good escape. Like, I'm actually in the process at the minute of setting up my own charity with the little baddies. I want to get that sorted, and I'm hopefully going to be giving him
tapping.
I'm hopefully going to be able to give back.
It is, lad.
I'm sorry, mate. I'm trying to publicise your city.
Do bits for us, lad. He's helping us get
the message. That's a belter, I'll take that.
What are you doing down here?
We're trying to give back as much as we can, just like everyone else is. But as we said, it's not even just a Liverpool problem. It's now a problem in the UK. Like, we're a first world country. We shouldn't have these sort of problems. That's off to Marcus Rashford for actually getting out there and doing something about it.
Are you into politics?
I am.
I am a little bit, but I'll be honest, I haven't got a clue about it. I haven't, I'm not going to lie.
He's educated in some ways, and then he's not in other ways.
I hate the Tories.
You don't need to know any more, do you?
No, that's it. I don't need to know much more. I just know I hate Boris Johnson and all them, lad. That pretty Patel and that, they can all eat shit.
I think it all comes down to what we always say, me and him, is like we're anti-establishment and anti-monarchy just because of what they've done to the working class people. We just can't get behind that and support that.
Just crazy liars as well. Do you remember, it's like 6 months ago, Boris Johnson said that we'll have a high wage economy. A month later, he put the politicians' wages up, and now he said, no, the high wage economy is not happening, you're just going to have to get by. What are you on about, lad? You're just going to have to get by.
Did you see when Boris Johnson came to Liverpool, he literally was rigged up in like the Matrix hat,
yeah,
like the stab vest and all that, because he knew.
And then when he went to Ukraine, he was just walking around like this.
Yeah. It's like he needs to be walking down these roads and seeing the kids that are here and just proper feeling it.
He'll never understand anyway. He called us a city of victims. And we'll never forgive him for it. It does my head in when people say you look like Boris Johnson. You know what I mean? Because I hate him, lad. I proper hate him, lad. Just like Owen Wilson and that doesn't bother me. He, man, Jay off the in-betweeners. You know what I mean? Where's the Grummidge? Doesn't bother me, lad. But when you call me Boris Johnson, it does my head in. I will never forget just hearing Laura scream. Pissed. Just doing me head in.
When I was sat next to Dana watching him, he goes, kid, you've got 50 G's for that elbow. So I'm just walking around like I've completed life.
In terms of your families now, did they come to all your fights?
Well, mine can't get into America.
No, I don't know if my dad can, to be honest. But my mum's only ever been to one fight and I lost, so she'll never come back.
Oh, to me, it must be tough, though, to see, you know, your son, your daughter in a ring, you know, with your eye like it might be, or you getting, you know, put to sleep.
Getting kneed in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one for you. My dad's never watched one of my fights. My dad has never watched.
What, he sits in the dressing room or something?
Or?
Outside.
No, he doesn't even go outside, he just stands in the toilet like that. Or just walks up and down the foyer with a pint like that. You know what I mean? Lad, his head is just gone. For the first time ever on the last show, because it was in the O2, and he said it was a bit all squashed in, I couldn't really get out. He went, it was a surreal feeling actually watching your fight. He said, every other time you've done it, I've been like...
Did he feel better watching, or...?
He said he felt better watching it,
yeah.
Then he's less nervous actually watching it.
Should have tried it earlier, shouldn't he?
I know, he's mad, lad. Proper mad.
I can hear me mum when I fight.
Yeah, I can hear me.
What, on the side?
Yeah.
Shouting?
So she normally sits there like the head of the mafia. She's like that. And then all my uncles and cousins are behind her like this.
I think that's annoying, though, when you can hear people shouting personally. Like, that fight I went into with a broken hand that I shouldn't have fought.
Yeah.
I will never forget just hearing Laura scream, Paddy! Pissed, just doing me head in.
Pissed, did you say?
Paddy, yeah. Winding, selling three bottles of wine.
Nerves are like that, so she's
just drinks like two bottles of wine before I even start fighting.
She couldn't even remember his last fight, because she'd watch mine and then be like, oh, and then he was on, and she's like, I can't even remember.
She didn't even know how old.
And in terms of sort of you growing up, when did you first get into the fight game and into
I remember watching Amir Khan at the Sydney Games.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I won't have a go at that boxing, but girls weren't allowed. Yeah. I'm from a place called Norris Green, and there was a boxing gym called St. Teresa's ABC. So I've walked around with my cousin, knocked on the door. Hiya, mate. Little Molly. Hiya. Can I come in? No, love, sorry, no girls allowed. I was like, lad, come on. And my cousin James has gone in. And I just remember looking through, like, it was like windows like that. Yeah. And I was just watching what he was doing. I was just copying them outside. And I'm not lying to you. I kept going every day for a couple of weeks in that summer holidays. And then one day he went, if you got a gummy, love, you can come in. I was like that. I had bandages in this pocket, gum shield in that pocket. He went, come on then, come in. So he put me in the ring. And he's gone, right, have a move round with this little lad. And it's just in me to fight. That's just all I know how to do. And I've just gone in, swinging for him. And I remember his name was Danny. And he picked up a trophy off the side. He gave me and he said, go and give this to your nan. Tell your nan, we'll never let girls in this gym, but you're allowed in. And I'm like this. Yeah, walking through Noggin like the big I am.
And that was it?
That was it. But then I stopped boxing because I went back to my mum's and I wasn't allowed in gyms round there. So then I was playing football. And then I got signed for Liverpool, and whilst I was playing, I was 5'2", 40 kilo, pissed wet through, do you know what I mean? So people are going like that, and I'm like, shh. So I went to uni, and I stopped boxing, stopped playing football, got into the drink and the going out and all this, and then I was on a night out, seeing Ronda Rousey fight on the telly, and the doorman who used to train at this gym went, come in, train, and then I was like, that's me, I'm in.
And you're in?
I was in. I literally didn't go back to uni. Emailed our coach Paul at 5 a.m, bladders like, I'm going to be like that Ronda. Came in the next day, told uni, that's it, I'm done. I still finished university online, I didn't go back in, but I just knew. Yeah. This was when Paddy had braces and a skinhead, and he was like that. What's happening, I'm mad.
How did it start for you?
I watched the fight, literally. Yeah. That was it. And it was Clay Guida versus Diego Sanchez. There's a fight, you'll have to watch it. Right. For 15 minutes, they just punch each other in the face.
Right.
And it is one of the best things you will ever watch.
Right.
Watched a bit more of it and was just like, yeah, I'm going to the gym to do that. I remember the day I come in the gym, 20th of January 2010, when I first started training.
People could make a bad mistake walking down the street and think that they could have you, couldn't they? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They
you
could,
can't judge your book by
you can't, can you?
That's why I'm, like, it's half lucky in Liverpool, really, because everyone sees me head now and just knows who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that hair,
yeah, it's
Gary.
The hair. It's the hair, everyone knows who I am. So
will you change that hair?
No. It's a trademark.
Is that
now.
The trademark now?
Trademark.
Stuck.
Now. I'm not Beckham, lad. I can't change my hair every weekend and life. Everyone's still talking about it, lad. I'm this is my do, lad.
And when you first started, was it obvious straight away to your coaches that, or to yourself that you were better or going
well,
to be pretty good?
The first class I ever come into, I'd done a class and two of the lads who were professionals at the time was teaching Sweeney and Fishy, and I just jumped in the class and I'd forget it because at the end of the session you roll, so you'd have a little grapple, and I'd never done it before. Yeah. I ended up getting some kid in a guillotine and like nearly finished, and I can remember Sweeney like going know what I mean, like that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it must be not too bad. And the first ever striking class I'd done, I got partnered with this girl, Millie, and lad, she proper put it on me. But like, I was about 50 kilo, soaking wet.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just put it on me, lad, proper. And there was three coaches behind the desk at one point. And I'm like that against the pillar as she started at me. And I just went like that. And she just goes, boom. And lad, all three coaches behind the desk went, ooh. You know what I mean?
Shit.
Yeah. But like, the first ever tournament I went to, I won. Then I said to Paul I wanted to fight. I took a fight on a week's notice against someone who was 24 and I was 16, dominated him, won the fight, and it was literally the feeling when my hand got raised. Yeah. I was like,
was that the confidence you needed?
This is what I'm meant to do, you know what I mean? When my hands got raised, even walking out, it felt boss.
Yeah.
But then when my hand got raised and I'd won, and especially because I was 16, beating a fella 24 who'd already beat someone from the gym, and it was my debut, I was like, I'm meant to do this.
And in terms of yourself, when did it become apparent that you were sort of like, I'm all right at this?
don't know, because, you know, when I was coming to do the training sessions with these, in MMA, you can't be side on, and in a pure amateur style of boxing, you'd be like that, and they was just kicking me and just shooting and taking me down.
Why would they take you down?
Because they didn't want these hands, lads, that's why. So then I'd get back up, I'd go again, they'd see me load up, take me down, and I was like, what? I was like, I can't not be good at something, because I was a national champion at boxing. If I'd proper give it, I reckon I could have gone to the Olympics, but my weight didn't get added.
Right.
So I thought, well, I can't go down that route, so let me find something else, and I'm just game.
Yeah.
And I think anything I put my hand to, I can have a go at. Yeah. But I think the first day when I walked in, Paul Rimmer said, mate, what's your plan? I said, I think I want to be a world champion. I want to win a world title. I want to be in the UFC. He's like, all right, let's do it. And the second he said that, I thought, come on, man. Do you know what I mean?
In terms of the side-on stance, what is the stance? Where does that look?
Sands side-on to be there now. Look, yeah. There's no way she can stop me from kicking her.
Yeah.
Look, but if she stands another way and I go to kick,
or
she can just lift it up, and then that hurts me. You know what I mean?
If she stands
side on as well, like that, I can easily shoot in. She can't really step back.
It's a lot. I mean, when I watch it, it looks a lot harder than boxing.
More technical than any other sport in the world.
You'll answer me this because you've read books. How many hours does it take to be an elite athlete at one discipline?
Is it 10,000 hours?
Now we do six.
Yeah.
Six Olympic disciplines. Now you've got to roll that into one.
Yeah.
It's not just getting there going, even though it might look that, because that's how I fight. Come on and swinging. Yeah. So as well as just doing these disciplines, you've then got to do
dieting,
strength, conditioning, sprints, long distance running,
dieting,
all the rest of the stuff that comes with it, like this. And you can't just be some little stead-head juice bomb who's like, and do all this.
You can't.
You've got to, like, it's a profession.
Yeah.
I was literally, when you was talking, Pat, I was literally looking at you thinking, 11 years ago, we walked in the gym and we had our first conversation and we're literally trying to change the game. And Gary Neville's walking down Kempston Street with overlap. I can't get over this myself. Like.
Should we go inside and have a little chat in the octagon?
Come-esque.
In the octagon.
This is the smallest octagon ever, though. This cage is tiny.
She called me a posh bastard before when I said octagon. It's a cage.
Yeah, it's a cage, isn't it?
The octagon's the real UFC one. The UFC one. They trademarked it. And else was just a cage.
I just go, get upstairs, lad.
Yeah. Right, let's go. Right, let's get in here and have a little look around and see what's going on.
Put you back on the cage, Gary.
Me?
Know what I have just noticed, though?
Well, Gary's got white socks on.
You can tell he's from Manchester, but not from Liverpool. That's like we say Wolves wear white socks.
Is that what it's made of?
Right, imagine this. It's not made of that. Imagine your face is getting hit off that and you've got to get up and you're like, oh.
If someone's been pushing you against there for like 3 rounds like that, like when you come out of the cage, you have a big cage mark on your back.
So you got put to sleep once, didn't you?
I got put to sleep in London when I was 18 years of age. I can show you exactly how it was. It was an anaconda. Hey, I hit him there, we went here, he reversed me here. I ended up jumping for me flying triangle. I ended up on the floor here like this. And as I tried to sweep him over, I wrestled up into a single leg and he anaconda'd me.
Just like that, weren't it?
Yeah.
And he got you?
There's a video on Twitter there, everyone who hates me always posts it every day.
But why
did I just flop like that and I'm unconscious?
And did you tap?
No.
No, went asleep. Same with her, when she got choked.
I'll show you what happened to me as well. So my coach is there all shouting, don't stand up! Don't stand up! What do I do? Stand up! And then, she's just put it on like that.
And then Molly literally just went like...
And then my legs was going like...
Yeah.
When you say, so go to sleep, what do you mean?
Like you're out, to sleep.
Yeah, that's what...
So if someone's like, knocked you out.
It's exactly the same, but you don't have like the head trauma.
Do you feel it coming?
Everything goes fuzzy and like...
everything goes like tingly, you know what I mean?
It's not, do you know like we're saying, it's not nice, it's like the way... You're like, you can't breathe.
Can you...
You can't die from it, no.
If someone kept hold for, like, 5 minutes, then you'd die. You know what I mean? That's why it always makes me laugh on films.
Okay.
When someone sneaks behind someone and gets them in a choke, and it's like, oh, Steven Seagal, he's dead. I mean, no, you'd have to hold them there for, like, 3 minutes to kill them.
Just show us what would be standard moves that you would say is your go-to.
I'll overhook here, I'll control this wrist, and then I'll jump like that. That's, like, my go-to.
And that's
I do that a lot.
Me out, that.
What with his
Yeah, up in the air. And then people try and slam you, but they put themselves in the choke more.
Because you won't let go?
Yeah.
Because you're in?
Yeah, I've done three of them in my career.
Do you think there's a point now where people will be expecting that? And then
oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Then my last opponent was.
Yeah.
My last opponent was expecting it. So when we were here, he grabbed hold of my hand.
Right.
So I can't do that.
Yeah.
So that was why I let him keep hold, stuffed it, stepped across and just threw him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's other things that
you can
do from their positions. Yeah.
For overcompensating.
If people think that, oh, he's going to do this here, I've already got a move. What's going to...
Yeah.
Do it something different.
But every single one of our fights is on catalogue for people to...
Yeah.
Like, our opponents, they don't have that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you can know I'm going to hit you with this left hook, so they might block, but I'll faint and they'll stop thinking about it and then I'll come back. So it's like him. You've got, like, different patterns to still get you to where you need to be.
I was watching your last fight this morning, actually. And you're a bit like a Tyson, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, she is. Because of her reach is so small. She can't, like, I can stay on the outside.
He can keep me off with his knees.
I can keep her on the outside just doing that.
And
she can't.
She's
got to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And start swinging hooks and uppercuts.
And to be fair, your last knockout was something absolutely ridiculous. One. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the is that?
I'm myself.
What the is that?
When we were saying before.
It's not right, that.
It's like every single one of us. I've been waiting for that moment. I hadn't had a finish in the UFC just because refs weren't giving it to me when they should have stopped the fights and all this. But there was no denying that moment. I got signed to the UFC off 8 fights.
Yeah.
So that's like literally playing 4 seasons of football, then getting signed to the Prem.
Yeah.
It's just like the learning on the job that you have to do is next level. We couldn't have walked out to 20,000 people and not put a performance on. And what we said is, think how much the working class person has to pay for the ticket, the travel, the ale, the clothes, the hotel. Our performance has to be like that.
Not one person left that arena disappointed.
Oh, the atmosphere sounded unbelievable.
That was the best sporting event they'd ever done at the O2. So that's beat any anti-Joshua card. The revenue was 1.3 million at the gate.
Right.
That wasn't even sponsorships, that wasn't merchandise. Like, not just because of us, because of every other Brit that managed to be on the card.
Obviously, after I fight, my dad gets off. Dad doesn't watch any other fight. He watches her and me, and that's it. He went back to a boozer because he found the boozer around the corner where the pints were only £4.50 a pint.
In London? Was it in London?
But yeah,
that's all right.
That's what he said. He said, send me
the rest.
Yeah. Rabbi go to him, he said. And he said, what is one? He said it was surreal for him because he was just sitting in this pub drinking pints. And he said, when the whole arena pulled out, he just could hear people going, oh, Paddy the Paddy. Dad was like, it was surreal. Him and my uncle both said to me, that was when like I realised how big this is. You know what I mean?
It has gone big, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone massive.
I feel like since he came, it's just gone.
Whoa. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Just show us that move, that little cheeky move.
No, the thing is, lad, people are like, oh, did she mean it, lad? We practiced that move.
He's done it the whole thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We both do it. Like, I do it different. I do it where I throw a kick to set her up, and then when they move back off the kick, I'll turn into it. Where she does it, from where she's in the clinch here.
And then I've got to pull it down.
Know what I mean? She pulls that down, spins into it. But as I said before, we have different styles, where I'm tall and long. I stay long and she's the opposite.
Yeah.
So we use the same techniques, but we have to set them up differently.
Yeah. People probably just think me and him don't have a clue.
Yeah, and we're just going in there and swinging at people.
But we're not.
But who would think that?
Anyone who ate Scousers, lad.
Dave from Stoke on his laptop on the computer.
Dave from Stoke?
Yeah, Dave from Stoke.
I'm just going to have to tell Gary what I said to Rudy as well, all right? Because you were the same, lad. I used to hate you. Lad, when you played for United, I used to hate you.
Look at the eyes I've got, haven't they?
Hate you.
He's gone to the baddie.
I'm out of range, though.
I grew up watching you win absolutely everything, lad. Everything. And I used to just hate United in general. Until about a year ago, I used to say, no, Rooney wasn't even good. Rooney was overrated. No, because I hated him that much.
He came to fight, didn't he?
Yeah, he came to fight. I had to say to him, that's what I mean in the changing. I went, lad, to be honest, Wayne, I used to hate you, lad. You know what I mean? So I said to him.
When I won, I had to go and do the media, and then I was like, Dana, can I come and watch? Now, a fight is never allowed back onto the floor.
Not right.
Ever, never. And he went, you can have my seat. So I'm sat on Dana's knee having a f***ing whiskey. Paddy's coming out, dancing to Where's Your Head At? And then when he won, I literally just seen Wayne and I just dove yeah, on sure, like yeah, yeah. And we're like that, yes!
But he was carrying Molly's bag to the Aspen party.
And I had a boombox on my back,
She had the speaker on her shirt. Dad, by the way, this speaker's about this big. Molly's just bouncing around the old ceiling.
And I'm like, because I knew I'd got... He got signed to Barstool for a seven-figure deal, right? And the man who owns Barstool in America, Dave Portnoy, basically tweeted, welcome to Barstool. So when I was sat next to Dana watching him, he goes, kid, you've got 50 G's for that f***ing elbow, rent and you're signed to Barstool. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be able to buy a f***ing house, what the f***? So I'm just walking around like I've completed life. The five top most purchased and watched cards are
McGregor,
all
McGregor, yeah.
McGregor's card.
And the only person that's going to beat that's your boy.
Right, I'm asking both the same question.
All right, cock.
All right, cock.
All right, cock. All right, cock. Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying this episode. This is just a quick thank you to Skybet, our partners, for making this show happen. It's something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. Please subscribe, there's loads more episodes coming up and I hope you're enjoying it. Right, let's get back into this episode.
Let's sit down and talk about that. Dana White. He has a reputation. Some people say he doesn't look after fighters.
I can argue that fact, and that's the fact of no other promotion would fly you around the world, put you in the five-star hotels. When you arrive, you send them your weight, and they'll come up with a refeed programme. They'll give you food all of the week. They're with you non-stop. Then you've got the Performance Institute, which is like the EIS, is it?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
England,
yeah.
English Institute of Sport. We've got one in Las Vegas where you're allowed to go and use for free, so you've constantly got free physio, strength and conditioning programmes.
So all your expenses and your training is paid for, and
yeah.
If you go over there, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you go over there. Like, I can understand where some people are from. Some people don't get paid that much, lad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my first two fights, I didn't.
What's a standard fee in the early days?
So, everyone starts yeah.
Everyone's the same. And what is that?
10 and 10.
$10,000
to show. $10,000 if you win.
So you get right. 20.
20,000.
And then it'll go up to 12.
And then it'll go up to 12 and 12. So that was my first two fights.
That's the first 10, two for everyone.
12 and 12, yeah. People moan about the wages and that. But they're either a boring fighter, they've got no personality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always stuff like that. You know what I mean? They never like go, oh yeah, it's my own fault because
I don't sell tickets.
Or I'm a boring bastard. You know what I mean? Some people can't talk on a mic, but the boss in the cage.
It's interesting that because it does tend to be the ones who've obviously got the skill, but also the personality.
I always say you've got to have the whole package.
Can you negotiate that now in the positions that you two are in?
Yeah.
And you can sort of say, look,
yeah, I think I am getting a new contract for this fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? I am getting a new contract and I'll be getting paid a lot more what I'm worth.
Because you'll bring more pay-per-view, more...
Yeah, because I'm bringing everything else in. I put bums on seats. As you said, I don't look like a fighter.
Yeah.
I look like I should be trying to do a remake of Oasis. You know what I mean, lad? You know what I mean? I look like I should be in a boy band or like Jay off the in-betweeners, as everyone says. I don't look like... As you said, a random kid could walk down the seat past me and think, who's that muppet? I'll punch his head in. Like, serious? That's why people look at me and I think I'm a polarising figure, like, you'd either love me or hate me. But then the people in the middle, it's like, oh, they see myself in me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a normal lad. I get fat when I'm not fighting. I go out and have a laugh with my mates. And I don't take everything too seriously, go the game. I don't take anything too seriously.
And what about for you, Molly?
It's mad. People, like, wouldn't have believed it, but I got paid nearly four times what he did for my last fight to his, because I'm
she's
on third contract.
Yeah, she's on it. That was your eighth fight, wasn't it?
My eighth
fight. That was her eighth fight.
So you got more the last time you both fought together?
Yeah. The one thing that I always say to people is, like, years ago, I was getting more than anyone else fighting for Cage Warriors. I got that much money for Cage Warriors, I paid my mum's mortgage off.
Right.
That's how good they were paying me.
Yeah.
Like, when I signed for the UFC, I took a pay cut.
Massive
cut. I took a pay cut to sign for the UFC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
but it's going to work out.
But I knew it was going to, because I know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm just me. I've said for years, you can go back and find podcasts from 5 years ago, longer, of me saying, I know I'm going to be in the UFC, because people used to say to me years ago, oh, you should have went to the UFC when they offered, shouldn't you? And I'm like, no, why should I? I know they're going to come back in. Yeah. I know I am going to be in the UFC and I'll be the biggest star in the UFC. Yeah. So I knew for a fact when I signed that contract for 10 and 10, obviously when the contract got in front of me, I was like, 10 and 10, yeah, it was getting more the other week. But I was, like we thought about it, I was like, no, because all the other things around MMA, I'll get more. Because in the UK, MMA is still, it's getting bigger, but it's not that big, is it? When me and Air go to America, you realise the difference. If a fighter pulls out of a fight, like breaking news,
yeah.
I say, like, if Beckham would have broke his leg 10 years ago, David Beckham breaks his leg, it comes up, breaking news, Amanda Nunes is out of a fight. That doesn't happen in the UK.
No.
No, MMA isn't mainstream. Over there, it is.
Well, I was in New York for the Katie Taylor fight, and I was going to train just on my own with my headphones in on the subway, and people are just going, hey, meatball, and I'm like, you're all right, lad? And then I was in, like, the pub, obviously, at the night time with everyone, and people are just flying over to me, and I was like, what the But when we went to San Diego, we got to throw the first pitch at the Padres game.
Yeah, in a baseball game.
And it's just like, we're just sitting
there. Someone
said
that to me a few days later. You went like, dude, 95% of American males would love to do what you done the other day. You know what I mean? Like,
and me and him were just
team.
Like, what? And then going to like casinos and doing meet and greets. Like, people have drove all the way from Cali. Someone who came from like Alaska down to see us. And you're just like, what? We're only these two kids from down the road. But it doesn't get to our heads.
And you've not had enough money yet to be able to buy your own house, or
now,
you have
now. It's just.
But he's not done it yet.
No, just because.
Yeah, I bought my own, house at the end of 2020. I got my own house with my fiance.
Yeah.
But I'm looking moving, to be honest now. Yeah. Looking moving. I had a few people knock on the house and ask me for a picture and that. it's a bit weird.
You're losing your roots.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, lad. I still have an L postcode. That's all that matters.
We always live in Liverpool.
I reckon so. I don't reckon I could ever move away from here.
I said to them, though, we both need to like buy a joint house in San Diego, because
we're going
to
do that.
We'd like
to
be there and back, there and back.
Going back to Dana White, he obviously just, he owns the whole thing, doesn't he?
He's the CEO, and now there's a massive company in IMG who owns
it. Oh, so they bought it. They bought it.
Yeah, he sold all the shares.
He's like the president, isn't he? He gets a lot of stick in that, but without him, MMA wouldn't be what it is. A lot of people say they've monopolised the sport. The Avens, it's just the best organisation, so everyone wants to fight for it.
And what the best thing for me was, in when the COVID happened and no one knew what was what, he'd done a Zoom and we was all allowed to get in it, and he was like, listen, I will make sure that you have got money to feed your families.
Yeah.
I will do these shows, whatever it takes, I will do it. Those who are on meal preps, we'll still send you food out. Like, he's got 850 fighters to feed.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's more than that now, it's over 1,000 now.
Is it? I don't know, that's like
when I was there last time, he told me there was 150 lightweight signed, 150 people at my weight, you know what I mean? Because mine's like the biggest weight division.
And what's the maximum now that's being earned?
Obviously it's McGregor, goes without saying. McGregor gets $5 million, doesn't he, flat fee?
The five top most purchased and watched cards are
McGregor,
all his.
McGregor's cards. And the only person that's going to beat that's your boy.
You're going to go for it?
Oh yeah. $5 million will be chumps change in a few years, lads. Wiping my ass with £50 notes.
Tell us something, the only people who I've ever seen have £50 notes are Carragher, another Scouse lad that I know. You all have £50 notes.
No one had money, so when you get money, you probably
when you get a 50, you're like,
lad, I've got a 50 quid. You don't do credit cards around here, do you? Do cash?
No, no one's got credit.
No, what recently?
Bank accounts, Gary.
Is McGregor going to fight again? What's happened to him?
Yeah, I reckon he's going to come back before the end of the year.
I
think he gets a lot of disrespect, lad, and it does my head in. Because without him, a lot of MMA fighters wouldn't be getting paid what
you'd
they are.
You'd be on 3 and 3 instead of 10 and 10.
Instead of 10 and 10, you'd
before
be on less.
Before he globalised the sport.
Yeah, but prime example, if it wasn't for Conor McGregor, you probably wouldn't be sitting here with us now doing this. Because he's the one that made the sport global. Conor, like, took it to a new level.
Yeah.
And that's why I think no one like gives him the respect he deserves.
And what happens if you're negotiating for a fight and you don't think they're giving you enough money? You just have a choice, you have to just take it.
Yeah, that's just business, isn't it, Gary? Like,
that's what I said to people as well. People like, after my last fight, they were like, oh, you shouldn't be fighting for 12 and 12. And I'm just like, I know, but I signed the contract.
Yeah, but will he rip it up?
That's
kind of being real. No, I think that kind of. I think I'm getting a new contract for this fight.
Right, so okay. Is that one? Is that one fight contract?
Deal. No, I'll have a new 4 or 5 deal. They're not stupid, lad. They don't really want 5 deals. It's like giving a player a 1 year contract. Doesn't happen, that.
They're locking you in.
Yeah, they lock you in, especially people like us.
Right, so you generally feel it's fair, as you see it here now?
look, I'm on the good side of the stick at the minute.
Yeah.
Like, I've had eight fights and earned what I'm earning.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've gone through, you've seen me face the fights. Every single fight I have, I leave a part of my soul in there. Like, I've lost a year of my life, do you know what I mean, taking them shots. And after the last two fights, Dana White's relationship that we have with him, you can't just ring him up, but when we go to shows, he asks us to come and sit down and speak to him. And there's a video out there where I'm like just bladdered and I'm like rubbing his head and all that. Like, no one's ever rubbed his head. People are like, I love him, he pays the bills. Do you know what I mean? Like, but because people see him as like a godlike thing, he did a bit like intimidated to speak to him.
Yeah.
But because we're just like, he's just one of us, but he's not. Like, we give him the utmost respect, but I think he appreciates that we don't like.
Put him on a pedestal and we're just like, normal with him.
Yeah, and he loves us. I remember we was at the bar with Dana and I went, he's got this whiskey called Harlehead, and I went to the bar and I was sloshed at this point. I go, lad, give one of them bottles, and he's like,
this is hilarious.
And then I go, Dana, tell him, lad. And he goes, she can have what the f*** she wants.
That was hilarious.
What's your path now? You got a fight?
Yeah, fight on July 25th. I'm a bit gutted, to be honest, like, as I even said in March when I was doing my last fight, I was like, I'm not fighting until like September. I've got a ticket for Glasgow this year, and lad, I've had to swerve Glasgow. The only ever time I've actually had a ticket is, Gary. I've never had a ticket for Glasgow.
He's got spun in, haven't you? He's always got spun in.
I've got spun in somehow. I've got in five times. I've never bumped in and paid the security guard something to get in five different times. And the one year I've got a ticket, I can't go. You can't.
Why have you got brought forward? Why did you just you wanted to?
No, it was just because obviously because of how successful the March show was. They only normally do one show a year, yeah, maybe two, but because of how successful that card was.
They're following it up.
He followed it right up with this, and I thought it'd be a bit later.
Yeah.
If it was a bit later, it probably could have went, but I can't go 4 weeks before my fight.
Right, I'm actually both the same question.
All right, cock.
You call me a cock then, or was that?
People didn't say talent, say that. All right, cock.
All right, cock.
All right, cock.
I'm actually the same question. In 20 years' time, how do you want to both be viewed?
I'd want people to think that every time I stepped into that octagon or the cage that I left every ounce of my being in there to get the win for our city, and I'd like to think I changed as many kids' lives in this city as I could through the Weapons Down Gloves Up initiative.
Well, with me, obviously I've had the one saying my whole life when it comes to MMA, I want to be the best that is, the best that was, and the best that ever will be. That's my goal when it comes to MMA, but inspiring kids to do something better with their life will mean more than any world title ever will. You know what I mean? Making people have a better life. The little warm, fuzzy feeling that gets inside, it's better than anything.
My career's done. I've just been beat again. My life's over. That was what was going through my head. I was like, I'm a failure. I'm an embarrassment to my family, my city, my team.
When he fights, he has this stare, and he's just like, he's just looking at that kid, and I think, oh my God, he's going to kill him.
Right, so we always have this section called Failure is a Bruise, Not a Tattoo, and it came out of me being at Valencia where I didn't do a particularly great job. And it's about your low moment, the point in your life where you felt, where basically, there's no comeback from it. And I'll start with you first, Paddy.
When I went into that fight with a broken hand, I got surgery 12 weeks before here, and I got my wires took out my hand 6 weeks before, told the doctors, I'm fighting in 6 weeks. No, you're not. I was like, nah, I am. Fighting in the Echo Arena for the whole of the city, like, I'm not letting everyone down, I'm fighting. All doctors sat me down in a room, was like, you're not fighting. I ended up fighting. I punched him in the second round, broke my hand again. I had to wait for a few months to get surgery, and in that few months is the most down I've ever been in my life. I was depressed, I was contemplating suicide. Didn't think my life would ever get any better, you know what I mean? Like, one day I went to a Wrangler and was like, I'll come up to yours now, because before I moved out with my fiancé, I lived on the corner and she was like seven doors down. I've known her my whole life.
Yeah.
I walked up the road and for some reason this big cloud of darkness just hit me as I got to a door, and I sat on a step and just cried my eyes out. Just like, what? Yeah. My career's done. I've just been beat again. My hand's finished. Never mind, my career's over, my life's over. That was what was going through my head. I was like, I'm a failure. I'm an embarrassment to my family, my city, my team. That was what was going through my head.
And when you were down and you said you were suicidal and you were depressed, did you go and see anyone? Did you speak to anyone? How did you come out of it?
For months, no. I felt like I couldn't say nothing to no one. I felt like if I say something to someone, I'm weak. I'm meant to be a fighter.
I'm meant to be a strong fighter. I'm not meant to be worried about stuff like, oh,
Have you changed that now, though?
Yeah, completely. Like, it's funny because the saying, get it off your chest, is one of the best sayings ever. Because as soon as I mentioned it to someone, it felt better.
Have you learnt from that? Are you a completely different person after that?
Yeah, I'm a completely different person now. Like, that made me the man I am today. That's why when I look back now, as Molly said, you can't really have any regrets because it makes you the person you are. Like, as I was starting to get out of the depression and, like, sorting my head out, I would say to myself, what are you even depressed for, Pad? Like, you're going to the gym every day doing something you love. All my mates are roofers and joiners and bricklayers, and they don't get up every day and go and do what they love. They get up and go and do it because they have to do it to pay bills. I come in here, I love getting punched in the face and punching people in the face, lad. I love wrapping people up in chokes. I love getting out there in front of 20,000 people and performing. It's what I was put on this earth to do. So I just had to put all that in my head, realise the opportunities you've got. The position I'm in is like one in a billion. People are killed to me in this position, so don't throw it all away.
And Molly, for you?
I was given the opportunity to fight for the UFC, competed in that, got choked unconscious in the second round. And I'll never forget, for like the first 3 weeks post-fight, every time I was falling asleep, I was like dreaming that it was the fight and then I'd have to wake up and then I was reliving that moment. So I had post-traumatic stress from that, and I sat myself down maybe a month after with the team and I was thinking, how can I move forward? How can I better this? Because I'm not getting rid of this feeling that's inside me. And it's very similar to Patrick's. I couldn't walk down the street and look at people in the eye because I thought I had let them down. And everyone would just go in the city, unlucky on that girl next time. And then I'd be like, maybe, yeah, maybe, yeah. But I wouldn't even wear my UFC training kit or anything until I had won in the UFC. I was like, I can't do it. I'm not good enough yet for that. I'm not good enough. So how can I improve that? The team came and sat down. We went over my weight management, my strength and conditioning. And me and him have got to the top of the game off this. Yeah. Not off science, not off anything else, not off strategy, just having a good go. Yeah.
And now everything else is moulding around that.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing you can't teach.
And that's what we've got in abundance. And I think that's why we've got through these tough times. But I just kind of thought, I feel this shite and like I'm going to do myself in because I'm not fulfilled. So how do I become fulfilled and that be the best version of me that I can be and then win? So I'd done this thing of 100 days of jiu-jitsu. I thought, I'm not going to be in a comfort zone. It could have been quite detrimental to myself, but I thought, put yourself in that position every day. 100 days I didn't punch, didn't kick, literally got strong, dieted, and kept on starting in that same position where she finished me, same position, same position. And then UFC London came and I had everything in my mind. I was like, right, I'm going to wear the same colours that I lost in to prove that it's not what I was wearing. And I'm going to do everything the same to prove that I'm just in a better mind frame, better this, better that, better whatever. And the second that I won, I look into that camera and I'm crying my eyes out and I go, this is how much it means. And I literally said to quite a few people that all that hard feeling and that imposter syndrome and that feeling of not being good enough, I still have took into every single fight and fight camp until I knocked that girl out. Now that's 4 years it's took for me to shake that. But I have affirmations, so I write a gratitude journal and goals and intention every day. So I start with saying my mantra, and it's, I'm too strong, I'm too fast, I'm too good, I'm successful beyond measure, and anyone's life I touch, I change. And then I write paragraph on everything that I'm thankful for, and then I write my goals.
Every day?
Every day. At the bottom of my goals, I write, thank you, universe, it's already done, and then write a date it has to be done by. And the maddest thing, I went through my goals the other day and it literally said, I'll have a six-figure sponsorship deal, I'll end up being a pundit, I'll get a new contract and I'll win 50 grand bonus and I'll knock the girl out and I've ticked every single one off. So
it's funny.
Well, how long does this go back?
I'd say like 2 years of journals.
See, that's me and her are complete opposites.
He's like, just like this,
I don't write nothing down.
He's just like that.
I don't write nothing down. Nothing gets wrote down. The one thing I do is just like visualise and imagine.
He says this, but every day, me and him, we can't train without the music. And that's our thing, like that gets us in the mode. You go, I haven't got anything, but it is, like we always
put music
gangster
is
rap.
Like, yeah.
And then we're looking at each
and
other and we're like,
around
yes.
The gym
like,
while sparring.
Yeah, yeah, because ultimately, like I said before, that's us expressing ourselves.
Yeah.
Someone said fire in the belly and ice in the mind, and I thought, that's it, yeah. That's it. Just keep this burning yeah. would be cool. He, when he fights, he goes from Patrick to when he's in there, he's the baddie, and he has this stare, and you, he's just like, he's just looking at that kid, and I think, oh my God, he's going to hold him.
Because I walk out smiling, I'm dead happy, you know what yeah. I mean? I love walking out, lad, feeding off everyone's energy, it's yeah. sick, but then when that cage door closes, it's you and him. I'm not happy anymore. I'm just thinking about smashing your teeth in, zoned in on that person.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's it then. I know for a fact, like, this person in front of me is trying to...
Take everything from me.
Trying to take food out of my future child's mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to take my house off me, trying to not be able to let me pay my mortgage. So I'm going to kill you. I will try and kill you in there if it comes down to it. I'll die before I get beat.
It's a great place to finish.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.